Now let me ask you a question. Where is the glory of God in America? Have you seen it lately? Been watching the news? Are you reading the newspaper? Are you aware of what's happening? Where is the glory of God in America today? Let me answer that by going back to a time in the Old Testament, and we'll talk about this in the latter part of the lesson. But I want you to look at this text of Exodus chapter 19. There are some amazing things there. How would you like to have just come across the Red Sea and had that battle been won just because Moses' hands were held up and you'd seen the manifestation of the glory of God and you'd had all of that manna? And by the way, if you have not signed one of these cards, and thank you, ushers, for remembering it, please go ahead and sign a card and put it in the songbook in that rack that's there, and we'll pick them up after services. I forgot to do that. I've been away for two Sundays. You cannot remember to do everything, can you? Can you? How would you like to have been at Mount Sinai and seen all of that? You just had manna for breakfast. You'd had manna for, you know, 5 or 6 days already, and now all of a sudden you're standing there at the foot of the mountain. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, the Bible says, they saw the glory of God. I want you, in your imagination, I want you to stand there and I want you to look up at that mountain. I want you to see that mountain vibrating. I want you to feel the ground underneath your feet, the earthquake that's there. You may have been in an earthquake. I have not knowingly ever been in an earthquake, but can you imagine standing there and trying to look up, and there is, all of a sudden, there's that fire and there's that smoke and there's thunder and there's lightning. Have you ever been around a time when lightning was striking? I remember one time several years ago, many years ago, David and Debbie and I were down at Oak Mountain State Park. Gary, I don't know if you were there or not, when the thunderstorm came rolling in. I didn't want the kids to be afraid of thunder and lightning, so I did my scientific thing of explaining what lightning was, and we counted, you know, 5 seconds, it's within 1 mile, and all of a sudden we'd count to two and there would be lightning and everything. I know what it's like to be around lightning. In fact, Debbie got in the car and she told David, and David only told this in his adult life, she turned to me and said, "Don't tell Daddy, but I think I got struck by lightning." You understand what that's like? I mean, that's a child's view. You've been there. You've seen. How would you like to have been at Mount Sinai and there the ground is shaking beneath your feet and there's the earthquake and there's the fire and there is the smoke, and then all of a sudden there's the trumpet of God that sounds. You ever hear a trumpet? How loud does a trumpet sound? The Bible said at that place it sounded and it continued to sound loud and louder and louder and louder. And the people said to Moses, "We're going to die. We have seen the glory of God. Nobody has ever seen God like this." And then they heard the voice of God. Can you imagine the voice of God that shook this earth? And they said, "Don't let God talk to us anymore. We've heard the voice of God like no one else, and we're going to die. Moses, go up into the mountain." They saw His glory. Where is the glory of God in America? They saw the manifestation of that glory. And it was all around them. See, that was holy ground. That's the very place Moses was when he took off his shoes, the burning bush, because you're standing on holy ground. And they stood at the foot of that mountain and they were standing on holy ground. Moses goes up into the mountain, and Moses had put a fence around that mountain so nobody could come up that mountain. And God says, "You go down off of this mountain and warn the people. Don't you dare come into your presence." And Moses said to God, "I've already put up a fence." And God said to Moses, "Get off this mountain. I've told you to go down there. You put a fence around that. And if an animal comes and touches this mountain, you kill that animal." That's the glory of God. Where is the glory of God in America today? You see, they felt that. Moses went down and warned all of the people that was there. And then he goes back up to the mountain. The people go back to their tents. And Moses is in that mountain and he gets the instructions, the Ten Commandments he gets, brings them down for the people. He goes back up another 40 days and finally he comes down. He's got the instruction for building that glorious tabernacle. Go to the last chapter of Exodus. Exodus chapter 40. And there they finally erected. They've built the holy place and the most holy place on earth. And in that little small room, 15 feet by 15 feet, it's not big. It's not much wider than what this platform is. It was cubicle, 15 feet high, and inside that was the Ark of the Covenant. And the Bible says that the Lord says, I will meet you at that Ark of the Covenant. The most holy place on this earth. You know what happens in Exodus 40? They erect that temple and all of a sudden it starts happening again. I'm not talking about the earthquake. I'm not talking about the thunder and the lightning. But all of a sudden there's a cloud that comes down from heaven. And that cloud is so intense and so huge that it comes and it hovers over that tabernacle. It descends down on that tabernacle. And the darkness brought by that cloud was so great they could not even get into the tabernacle. Could not find their way into the tabernacle. Why? Because the Bible says that in that cloud was the glory of God. Where is the glory of God in America today? The Jews used the word Shekinah to describe the glory of God. The rabbis say that on that one day of the year, whenever that priest went into that most holy place to offer sins, offer sacrifices for the sins of the people, that that place was aglow with a light from the presence of God. The Jews used the word Shekinah to describe that presence of the Lord. The word Shekinah means dwelling place. And on one day a year, God came down to that place on the 10th day of the 7th month and His Shekinah was right there. Let's jump several hundred years. Let's go to 1 Samuel. In the book of 1 Samuel, there's an amazing thing that happens. You'll have to skip down and ignore another slide. We'll come back to Solomon's glory at the temple. Let's go ahead and talk about the glory when Solomon dedicates the temple. We'll come to that thing in 1 Samuel. Solomon builds the temple later. They had built multiple tents. The tabernacle was not just one tent that lasted 500 years. There were multiple tabernacles. And finally the time came when David wanted to build a house for God, and the prophet of God said, David, go ahead. And David gathered the material. David was not allowed to build it because the prophet came back and the prophet said to David, you have shed the innocent blood. You're not going to be one who's going to build the tabernacle. There is another one to build the tabernacle, and his name means peace. Shalom. Solomon. He'll build the tabernacle. And in 1 Chronicles, we read of that time in 1 Chronicles, whenever Solomon dedicates the temple, and guess what happens? Now it's a beautiful gold-covered building. It's massive in size. It covers Temple Mount in many respects. And the Bible says that all of a sudden, when the sacrifices had made and all of that place had been made sacred, that the glory of God, the Shekinah of God, the presence of God came down and the presence of God was there. Visible manifestation of the presence of God. I ask you, where is the glory of God in America? But His glory would not always be there. Go to 1 Samuel. There was that time during the period of Judges, and now we're jumping back in history. First the tabernacle in the days of Moses and Joshua, and then the time of Solomon after, 420, 470 years later. Now let's jump back to the time not long after they got into the promised land. They'd been there perhaps 300 years, and there's an old prophet there, the next to the last of the judges. There were 15 of them. And there was that judge whose sons were Hophni and Phinehas. They were evil. They were not fit to be the judges, though they tried to use that position as a political position to make themselves wealthy above other people. And they're having this battle. And in 1 Samuel chapter 4, there is that time whenever they're losing the battle against the Philistines. And how foolish can you be when somebody says, go get that Ark of the Covenant. Go into that most holy place. Bring out that Ark of the Covenant. And foolishly, they went into the most holy place and removed from the most holy place the glory that where the Lord met them in all of His glory, His Shekinah. And they brought that golden box out and used it like you might use finding a rabbit's foot or, you know, as a good luck charm. And now we'll win the battle. And the Philistines came and took the Ark of the Covenant. And when the word gets back to Eli, he's sitting there in his place, and the word comes back that your sons are dead. Hophni and Phinehas are dead. And Eli hears that, and he falls over backward and breaks his neck, and he dies right at that point. Solomon has a grandson that is being born as all of this is happening. His father's just been killed in battle. Phinehas has a son. His wife is pregnant. And whenever she hears that the Ark of the Covenant has been taken away, she has the son. Name this son Ichabod. Ichabod is a Hebrew word that means the glory has departed. Ichabod. Where is Ichabod in America today? Shekinah or Ichabod? Let's jump in history more. Let's go from the time of Ichabod and get over to that time of Solomon. And now from the time of Solomon, let's go another 300 plus years. And Ezekiel sees a vision. Ezekiel sees a vision where he sees first in a vision the Shekinah of God. And at the end of it, there's Ichabod. Ezekiel, what did you see? In chapter 1, that wheel within a wheel that we sometimes sing about is defined in the last verses of Ezekiel chapter 1 as being that manifestation of all that is there. And we try to draw the picture, and we're not able to draw about that wheel within a wheel and turning in this direction and turning. You've read Ezekiel chapter 1. When you get to the end of it, it says, and you know what that is? That's the glory of the Lord in a vision. He's seen the Shekinah of God manifested. And then this vision. He sees the glory of God. Listen, as it leaves the most holy place on this earth. You know what happens? It leaves the tabernacle. And it goes over to the threshold. There's the holy place. There's the most holy place. There's the Shekinah of God. And now the Shekinah of God stands at the threshold because of the sin that's in Israel. It doesn't stop there. Ezekiel sees that vision, and as he watches that vision and he sees all that transpires, the Shekinah of God leaves and heads out to the gate of the city. I'm not going to walk to the property boundary line. It leaves to the gate of the city, and it finally goes to the mountain, the Mount of Olives, and it ascends into heaven. Ichabod. The building is still there. The furniture is still there. The holy place is there. The most holy place is still there. And everything is there except Shekinah, the glory of the Lord. He gets in the latter part of Ezekiel, in the messianic part of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 43, he sees a vision of them coming back from Babylonian captivity. And there is a temple that is erected, but far more than the temple that was built by Ezra, Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel. He sees one that has the glory of God, the Shekinah of God, coming back to the messianic temple. Can we jump to the New Testament? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh, listen, and we beheld His glory as of the glory of the only begotten One of God. We saw the Shekinah in human form. And to behold Him was to see the glory of God. He went to that temple, the one that was like Solomon's temple. Herod had rebuilt and had enhanced the temple that Zerubbabel had rebuilt. It was now even far more magnificent to imagine. And Jesus is standing inside that temple. He's teaching inside that temple. Watch this. And Jesus walks out of that temple grounds, and guess where He heads? He heads for the threshold. He leaves the threshold, and 40 days later, He leaves and goes to the Mount of Olives. And the Shekinah of God, give me the glory that I had before I came to this earth. Where is His glory? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21 says, to Him be glory in the church throughout all ages. Did you hear that? Where's His Shekinah? His glory is manifested in that glorious, sanctified, blood-washed church. Because it's God, that is where God resides. You are the temple of God, the habitation of God. I dwell among you, and I dwell in you. And He gave Himself, Ephesians 5. Purchased the church with His own blood. A church that is without spot and without blemish. One that has been sanctified, listen to this, by the washing of water, baptism, and the Word of God, the teaching of the gospel. And there was that time in your life when you heard the gospel preached and you understood it. And you didn't want to be a part of all this ungodliness and all this evil there is in the world, but you had the guilt of it in your life and you said, I'm unholy. God's holy and I'm unholy. I'm unfit. And God said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll wash away every wrong and you will be as pure as the very blood of Jesus. How innocent, how sinless is the blood of Jesus? And he washed it in his blood and the word. And to him be glory. Where's this kind of God today? To him be glory in the church throughout all ages. Guess what happens? The Lord can leave the church. In the book of Revelation, we read of a church at Laodicea, and the Lord is standing figuratively knocking at the door of the church, saying, let me come in. Figurative. Hear him knocking. Hear the Lord knocking. Let me come and be a part of this church. I want to bring my glory into this body. But if you don't, that which in Revelation chapter 3, verse 13 through 16 says there is the church that is indifferent. We talked about Solomon's temple having all the furnishings of it, and the tabernacle having all the furnishings of it, the gold and the silver and all the furniture in its proper place and every other thing. And they had everything they wanted. It was a rich church. And the Lord said, I'm not there. I'm at the door. I want to be in that church. And it's possible that we can see the church and see all the fixings of the church. And see, we have the Lord's Supper every week. We have a cappella singing and that we have elders and we have deacons and we study the Word of God. But that's not the issue. The issue is, I'm at the door. Can I come in and can I be a part of this church? Solomon's temple had everything but the Lord. And in America, there are hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of churches that have everything except Jesus. Ichabod. And the Lord said to the church at Ephesus, I'm standing there and there is representative beside me, that church at Ephesus. There are those seven churches in Asia. And one of those churches is the churches of the church at Ephesus. And the Lord says to them, if you do not repent, I will take that candlestick and I will remove it out of its place. You may still have your building. You may still be worshiping. You may still be there, but I won't be there. It's Ichabod. My glory is not there. Can we make it even more personal? You are a part. You're a building. You're a stone in that building. Is the glory of God inside you? Is the Lord trying to get into your heart and trying to get into your life and trying to get into your marriage and trying to get into your workplace and trying to get into your downtime and into your recreation area? Is the Lord trying and He's standing outside and you feel rather good about yourself? but is the Lord inside me. His glory can leave us if we leave Him. Therefore, let your light so shine before men. Matthew 5:13-16. Salt and light. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify my Father. His place of Shekinah is us. On the inside are standing at the door saying, let me come in. Let me try to make it even more personal. If every member of this church, Palm Beach Lakes, was like you, where's the glory of God? If every member lived with the moral standards that you live by, secret sin in your life, facade of Christianity, Shekinah or Ichabod, if every Christian were as interested in saving the lost world and getting the gospel to the lost world as you are, brethren, we're trying to provide opportunity after opportunity, giving you things to take in your hands and give to the others, and Bibles to give to others, and Discovery Magazine to give to others. If every member did what you did and what we've done in this past year in trying to reach out and let others come and see the manifestation of the Shekinah of God in this place. Would there be weeks when the church would never meet? Would we have a happenstance whether or not we even had services to worship? What would our Bible classes look like? Thank God for the deep Bible classes that we have in this church. But what if every member of the church were as interested and as devoted to eating and feasting on the spiritual food that we're trying to have at this place as you are? How much Bible study would be going on? What would our contribution be? If everybody gave the same percentage of their income as you do, what would this church be like if every member were just like Dan? You put your name in that verse, in that sentence. What would this church be like? Shekinah or Ichabod? I hope that within your heart there's a determination. I'm going to open the door. I'm going to open the door and let Him in. I want my heart, my soul, and because it is my heart and my soul, my life, a manifestation to the world that is in darkness of the glory of God. Thank God for the knowledge we have of the church. But may we all with one heart and one mind be determined that this year He's not going to be on the outside. We force Him out. He does not force Himself back in. Let this be the year that we say, Lord, let my life be that which glorifies you. Are you in the church? Why would you not want to be? If God planned and manifested his glory there in that at the mountain, if he manifested his glory at the tabernacle and at the dedication of the temple, why would you not want to be a part? Where is the glory of God in America? The answer is, it's in the church of Jesus Christ. Or it does not exist. You want to be a part of that church? Then believe in him today. Repent of the wrong that's in your life. God, I'm sorry. I'm going to change my life. And when you tell us you believe in Jesus, when you confess him, this very day you can be washed in water because the Word has told you that's what you need to do. And you become a member, a living stone in a living church that manifests and has within it the glory of God. And he'll add you, make you a part of his glorious church. Let's live right. Let's do right. And when there's wrong in our lives as Christians, let us respond to him. Why would you wait? Why would you tarry with the possibility that he is leaving you and leaving your life, and all you'll have left in your life is Ichabod? If you need to change your life, won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?